Brethren, I wanted to bring a message today that I hope you'll find very interesting. And you see on the screen, the title is Vision, Mission, and Guiding Principles. In a few weeks, the General Conference of Elders will be held. And typically, most of our elders in United Church of God would travel to Cincinnati to be together for this weekend. This year, we'll be doing it remotely again. But it's still something that is very important to all of us, whether we're elders or members. It's something that affects all of the church. And I wanted to bring to you some of the things that we'll be considering, some that are actually very important. These things called vision, mission, and our guiding principles, these are actually three essential elements of the Church of God. Not restricted just to United Church of God. These would be things that would affect all of God's people. The Church of God has always looked to the future. And Christ himself so many times told us that the kingdom of God is coming and that he would return and be our king. We always look to the future, to the time when all of the promises of God are fulfilled, and we could begin to think of those promises in our own personal lives. And Christ instructed and encouraged his disciples to have that vision of being able to anticipate the good future that he is going to bring, and the Father is sending him to bring that to us, and to engage in the mission as well that he gave his disciples to do, to be able to help others to know about the future that is planned and that we have the opportunity to attain to and to be guided by his word in what to do and how to do it. And that is our guiding principles. Brethren, these are things that are sent out to all the elders. I wanted to share with you so that you're maybe a little more familiar than in the past with how we work together as a church, as a body, as this part of the body of Christ. Every year, the elders receive a large packet of information, and in it is this booklet called Strategic Plan, Operation Plan, and Budget for the Year Ahead. And this contains their instructions of how we as elders will serve the congregations wherever we are, how we'll work together to do this work that God has called us to do, that we're very appreciative of being part of that. So we have instructions and letters from the chairman of the council and from the president and from the planning meetings that have been going on to the council of elders and our management team at the home office. But these are things that will affect all of us wherever we are. And I wanted to share with you part of this. You see in this booklet, this page. This is the booklet that we have that every elder should read, and all the elders who are here, I'm asking you to pay attention, because these things are on our homework list to do and to read and be prepared for. But we have this to help us to serve the congregations where God has sent us to serve. And we see three of these elements that are mentioned in this booklet. And I'm going to be talking about what's on this page. You see it there in small print on the screen. The big titles are Vision, Mission, and Guiding Principles. Because I would want you to know a little more about United Church of God, this part of the body of Christ that you and I are blessed to be with. We have that vision and that mission, and we have guiding principles to guide us. This page is a remarkable page if you think about it. It's not just something that one person wrote. This is something that had the input from hundreds of elders in the church who wordsmithed and worked over these statements so that now they are distilled to the way that the majority, the vast majority of the elders of United Church of God would word this. I always look at this because it's something that helps me to keep my focus in serving you. And I wanted to talk to you about it today and to just bring you up to speed with what is here and how how it is that you are served. We have the vision, and with that, it's what God's purpose is for us, what we should be doing, looking for what he would have us to become. This vision is mentioned in our Constitution and in our bylaws, and actually the mission statement as well. It's actually part of the Constitution. These are not just paragraphs that are there to fill the page. These are actually very meaningful. I've sat in some of the meetings where these paragraphs were discussed. How shall we word this? How does God tell us we should serve? What do we know in being able to be the elders who will serve his people? I would like you to listen and read and think about this from two points of view today. One is that the elders of the church are supposed to have this focus and be able to work together as a team to help all the people that are called into the church by God and all the ones to whom we preach the gospel, but also from the point of view of being able to see how it works in our local congregation, because it's very instrumental in how we serve locally as well. The mission is, what is the church to be doing on a grand scale, from serving people all around the world, preaching the gospel to the whole world, to every nation, but what about locally and regionally? And then those guiding principles. What guides the things that we do, and how do we do them? This is so important. And so I wanted to share with you some of the things that will help the elders be making the decisions in a few weeks that will affect all of us in the year to come. And every year we have a big meeting like this. So I'd like to consider first the vision. And the vision that we have distilled, the words are, a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory. That's actually a very grand vision. That's looking forward to the future that God will have for many children being brought into his family. This is what it means for us to be a church led by God's Holy Spirit. I remember back to March and May of 2015, those first two times that Nancy and I came to Tacoma and Olympia to serve here and to be with you and to be one of you in the local area in this way. And I remember speaking of the same verses that you see on the screen in Ephesians 4 and verse 16. And I'd like to just turn and read these scriptures. I chose today just to use only the verses that are on that page in the booklet so that we can see what the collective wisdom and prayer and answers to those prayers from many different elders has distilled for us to be able to serve together. In Ephesians 4:16, we read this, speaking of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that's describing a beautiful working relationship where we all are able to help one another. We all are able to use the talents and gifts that God has given to us to help each other, to encourage, to support, to be able to comfort, to visit, to help others attain to salvation as well. These are grand things that are able to be done by the Church of God locally as well as around the world. This is part of our vision, and something important to us here in Tacoma and Olympia, to always have a vision for where we are going. We're going together to the kingdom of God. We're helping each one to attain to that. We're working to make it possible for as many of us to be blessed every day as we can. And it goes beyond that, looking to what God is doing as well. You can see in Hebrews 2 and verse 10. And it speaks here in this book of Hebrews about Christ, about his work, his mission, and how God was helping that to happen. In verse 10 of chapter 2, it says, "For it was fitting for him." It was designed to be this way. It was part of God's plan. "For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory," many children being brought into his family to be glorified and live eternally with Jesus Christ and with our Father. These are the highest levels of looking to the future that God has revealed to us in his word. To be able to be his own sons and daughters, glorified as he is, living forever, eternal, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And it keeps our focus on Christ and how he's helping each of us to be able to be brought to glory. And again, think of this from the perspective of the collective body of elders who come together, and we have our management team that gives us the instructions, the way we can be assigned to help in this area, equipped to work in that area. We work together to do the different things that a church would do, but also locally. We have elders and deacons. We have the wives of elders, deaconesses. We have musicians and song leaders and people who help with sound and technology. We have all of us working together. The perspective of our local congregation is something very, very important. And so we have that vision. We all need to realize and remember that the church is a visionary church looking to the future, to next week being better, to next year being better, to eternity to come. And so a vision that is so important for us as a church is something that we really pay attention to. I have my notes actually from my first summer with you here. I couldn't find those first two sermons, but there was one I gave that first summer with you, speaking of these same verses, Ephesians 4:16 and Hebrews 2:10, showing that this has been our local way of working too, and it's very effective to be able to see the growth in all of you in these last few years, to see how the Word of God can guide us in this way. We have also the mission, and that's mentioned on that page in the booklet. The mission of the United Church of God and International Association is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, make disciples in all nations, and care for those disciples. This paragraph literally took hundreds of hours of time from many, many different people to distill down to that. And again, I was blessed to be able to sit in some of the discussions about this and times when someone wanted to amend it and make it say something a little bit more, a little bit less, or different. And to hear the discussion, and it keeps coming back to this so many times. This is a great mission, to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. That is something that he himself told his disciples to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation and make disciples and teach them all the things that he commanded. Having vision means not only having a goal clearly in mind, but also doing all that we can to help the members of the Church of God and others to attain to that envisioned future. The mission puts it into action. We have a vision of the future, but how do we get there? What do we do? And the mission is that. It is called the mission of the church, the work which Christ gave us to do and to help others as well. We'll read Matthew 28, verse 19 later in the sermon, but that's where he tells us to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that mission of the church is expounded in many other sections of the scriptures as well. It's interesting as a pastor to be able to read a page that has had so many others working diligently to come down to the very most concise way of saying things and with the verses that most clearly describe it in the scriptures. I want to show you then we have the mission, the vision, and the mission, but those then are put into effect by the guiding principles that we see. And on that page in the booklet, let me just show you again, because this is really where we're going. We're getting everything from the sermon today from this one page that is there to help our elders to stay focused and stay on the same path together. Our guiding principle number one, and there are five of them on this page, is this. We believe our Father has called us into a relationship with Him and one another through Jesus Christ. We believe the immutable Word of God shows how to build loving relationships. That's in 1 John 1 and verse 3. To become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That guides our efforts in very significant ways. Let's turn to 1 John and see what it says in 1 John 1 and verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so this fellowship, this relationship among the members of the church, and especially between the members of the church and our Father and His Son, this relationship should guide our efforts in being the people that He wants us to be in being the church that He has called us into and to become and that Christ is building, to have fellowship with each other and how important that is. And I believe we have made tremendous growth in this area, not just since I've been here, but this has been a strong area in this regard for a long while. And it's very good to see, but there's always this expectation, and with God's help, with His Spirit, showing that we can abound in love for one another. And so having that continually growing, strengthening relationship with each other and with God and with Jesus Christ, that's a guiding principle that guides our work as a church. Locally as well as internationally, and such an important guiding principle. The principles are there because they're in the scriptures, and they teach us how we should be, how we should work. Because we have that guiding principle, it leads us into this kind of statement. I put the principle on top, now in the bigger words you see, therefore. Because we believe we have that relationship with God and with Christ and with each other, because there's that fellowship, it says, therefore, we will strive to live by every word of God, led by His Holy Spirit, enabling these relationships to grow and flourish in humility. And every year at the General Conference of Elders, we look at those words again. These are basically repeated each year exactly as we have them here. And these then are part of what we ballot on and say, yes, that is what I subscribe to and that's what I believe and that's how I will serve. And so we have those guiding principles that show, therefore, we're going to work at this. We're going to strive to live by every word of God. We're going to be led by His Holy Spirit. We're going to ask Him for that every day. And that enables those relationships to grow and thrive, as it says, in humility. There's a second guiding principle. And this one is very significant to me. I will explain it after I read it. It's the second of five on that page. It says, we believe God the Father, through Jesus Christ, is building His church, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, and we, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And it quotes there from three verses I'll read in just a little bit. I was blessed a few years ago to serve on the Council of Elders, and as we were going through preparing this booklet for that year, and we came to this page, and this guiding principle number two was not there. There were only four listed on the page, and it seemed to be something lacking. And I and others began to talk about it, and we said, what should also be on this page? And we read through and we thought and talked and prayed about this. And this is what we came with. This guiding principle then that was presented to the Council of Elders. And sometimes when things are presented, it takes hours of discussion and refinement to put them into the correct wording or even whether to accept them or not. And so it was my duty then to present this to the council, and I expected there would be that kind of reaction, that it would take a long discussion and it might not even go through. I presented this and read it, and everyone agreed immediately and the few of us who had composed this felt very good that day, that we could put this into this booklet and it would be there as one of the guiding principles of God's church. And here it is. We believe God the Father, through Jesus Christ, is building His church. We truly believe that. This is His church and He is building it. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. These are things we preach locally. These are things that every minister would preach in every congregation. These are things that would be preached in the preaching of the gospel to the world. This is the basis that we anchor our faith on. And we as living stones are being built into the spiritual house. Let's read the scriptures that speak of this. First in Matthew 16, in verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That's a part of a longer conversation there between Jesus Christ and His disciples, especially among them Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And Christ is still building that church, and He is the rock, and He is the chief cornerstone, and He is the only foundation. There is none other that can be laid. And He's building that church upon Himself as that foundation. Look also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. This is an important statement when the elders of the church gather to make a decision on all the different things that will come up that will be affecting the whole church for the next year and beyond. We are God's fellow workers. It has this significant, in a sense, it says this is a duty we cannot shirk. We should be very careful how we do this, because we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's fields. And so for the ministry of the church to see that it is so important to keep the fields in good order, to tend them, you are God's building, to make sure that the building is built with precious things, with precious stones and gold and silver, to be able to see it from that point of view. And also locally, to see that and to apply these same principles. These are our guiding principles in our own personal lives as well. We're all God's fellow workers. Every mother here is helping God as she raises her children to be respectful and honorable. Every father is helping God. He's God's fellow worker as he teaches his children about the Sabbath day and to be honest and to live according to God's word. And so we see this can apply in every way. It's a guiding principle for our lives and for the church. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, it continues with this: You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so to see all the members in this way, and again, in the context of being there at these meetings and writing this and presenting it, to say this is how we should see God's people. This is how we should serve them with this understanding, to be able to know that we are working among and with and for the living stones that are being built up, the spiritual house, to value every single member of the church in this way and to treat them that way, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so this is one of our guiding principles that is so important to the working of the church. With that, we turn to therefore. Having that as our guiding principle, then we say, therefore, as members of the household of God, we grow together into a holy temple for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Such a wonderful way of expressing it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. But we can see that there is this result from being guided by God's word and by his Spirit, to have this kind of relationship with him and with one another, to see that he is working in us and we are being built up this way. We can see that we can grow together. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're all part of the same family. And we should see that and love each other in that way and respect everyone who God calls and places among us. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, we're part of that same building, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. It's so good to see these things placed into our guiding principles for us to be able to consider so that we can have that good and proper focus of serving. And our third of the five guiding principles is this. We believe God's plan of salvation includes every individual who yields to him and Jesus Christ. It's in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. His plan includes the calling and perfecting of those who are being converted now, as well as those to be converted in the ages to come. We're looking not only here but beyond to the second resurrection, the ages to come when people will know and believe and be converted. In 1 Timothy 2, in verse 4, speaking of God, it says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires every single person to be saved. Every person we see when we're out and about, every person in every foreign land, every person who lived from the time of Adam and Eve till now, every person whose bones are dug up in Egypt when they find new areas to excavate, every person forgotten in this world, in the history of mankind, every person yet to be born, who desires all men to be saved. That's God's desire. And that is ours too, as his people, as his church, to be able to have that kind of guiding principle so that when we look at others and think about them and interact with them, that we are able to see what God ultimately sees, someone who might be his son or daughter. And with that, we have how it guides us. Therefore, it is the duty of the church to proclaim a message of hope and a call to repentance, to observe all things Christ has commanded, and to prepare members of the body of Christ for service. That's how we respond. With guiding principle of God wants all to be saved, we get to work to do what he allows us and has called us to do, to proclaim that message, to preach that gospel in all the world, to teach people every Sabbath, at home, at dinner time, in the garden, when we work together, everywhere we are, when we rise up, when we lay down, to be members of the body of Christ prepared for service, to help other people to attain to what he is giving to us. The fourth of these guiding principles is this. We believe. Those two words, by the way, are so important. This last week, I was going through some of my papers. I've been working with Mr. Bob Dick, who's creating a historical account of the origins of United Church of God in the early 90s and how things came to be. And at that time, in 1995, I wrote three pages of words that believed, that of things I believe. I started each line, I believe, and I would state my belief and write the verse down that spoke of that. These words, when we say we believe, this is what we literally believe. And believing these things, we take action on them. We believe all humanity will ultimately have the opportunity to learn of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and the good news of the kingdom of God. We believe the plan of God provides every individual an opportunity to become part of his family. And that's stated in Scripture in Acts chapter 10. In Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. One thing I really appreciate about the page that I'm using as the outline for the sermon is that it's all based on Scripture. And we can turn to the Scriptures and see what it is we believe and why. It's God's word to us. In Acts 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Whoever fears him, in every nation. I'm having a discussion with another elder halfway around the world about these things, that we believe that all humanity has the blessing that every individual will be able to come to him. He shows no partiality. And we are able to have that kind of outlook because we see it in the Scripture, to value absolutely every person of every nation, because in them there is something that God loves so very much that he wants them to be his children. With that, we have this statement. Therefore, in order to maximize the effectiveness of the gospel message, we endeavor to reach all people in a way they can understand with a combination of doctrine, prophecy, and Christian living, recognizing that any lasting fruit is produced by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You recognize some of the things we do locally here? We try to serve locally in the preaching, and the men and who serve and speak, and even in our songs, in all the different ways, we have a mix of doctrine and prophecy and Christian living. In our Bible studies, I've been focusing on Christian living because then we have the opportunity to talk about things in a different and more relaxed way. Recognizing, it says, that lasting fruit is produced by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's our local focus too, but this is the focus of the United Church of God wherever we speak. The last of our guiding principles is this. We believe humanity is in urgent need of the gospel message in advance of the events surrounding Christ's return. We believe Jesus commissioned his church to declare what is to come, to warn of the consequences of sin, to preach repentance, and to proclaim the hope of eternal salvation. That's a grand scale guiding principle. That covers almost all of the other things that we said. And Christ spoke of this in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We'll pick out a few verses here. Verse 13 and 14. Christ is here speaking of the end of the age, what it would be like. And he said in verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." It's not just to the English-speaking nations of the world. And that's part of the discussion I've been having with our friend in South Africa. He's wanting to know about the English-speaking nations. And I said, God wants the people of all the world to hear this word of truth. We go to the book of Acts in chapter 2, where it talks about people who were from many different countries hearing that word in their own tongue, in their own language. It's not just an English doctrine or our gospel, it's for everyone. And so we have that focus to be able to reach out to the world. And it says, whoever endures to the end. It's one of my focuses is when there's someone who God has entrusted to me to care for, to be a friend, to be someone who can encourage them and comfort them, an elder to anoint them when they're sick, and when someone is dying, to be able to help them to endure to the end. That's like my mission. That's the critical part of being able to serve, to be able to be there for people. And Christ wants that to happen. And for all of us to be able to endure to the end, to be saved. Verse 21, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." There's a time coming that's going to be so much worse than what we've been through and what we've ever seen. You can read the history in the Bible. There's some things you read about and say, that would be absolutely astoundingly terrible if it happened. You can read the history of civilization through the centuries and the millennia, and you see the things that happened in this world, but Christ said it's going to be worse. And brethren, we have to be ready to help each other to endure to the end through whatever comes, and to be able to call people and not to scare them into coming into the church because we're telling them it's going to be bad. If you want to escape, you've got to be with us. That's not the gospel. What's the gospel is to receive the words of Jesus Christ, to be able to learn and to grow, to be able to understand what he taught and to live by it. As we see in Matthew 28, in verse 18 through 20, and here we see Christ gives the authority by which he gives this mission to the church. In Matthew 28, verse 18, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.'" This is what's going to help people to be saved. This is what's going to help people to endure, to be able to be forgiven of their sins and receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He's with us. He's part of this church. He's the foundation of this church. He's here as we worship together. We worship in fellowship with him and with his Father and with our Father. And so this is the guiding principle then. And with that, we take this action. Therefore, we take very seriously the church's responsibility to boldly preach the gospel to this world with zeal and a sense of urgency. And that's quoted, referenced back to John chapter 9, verse 4. We'll read that in John 9, verse 4. This is Jesus himself speaking. He said in verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." To have that zeal that Jesus Christ himself had, to work and to do what is to be done while it is day. We can't put things off when there should be an urgency about it. Christ gave his disciples that urgency. Teach these things and preach them to all the world so that as many will be saved as God will call, will turn to him. We have this as our guiding principle too, to always be zealous in the work that we do and never be sluggish about it and never just be lackadaisical and lukewarm, as he describes in other areas, but to always be zealous for the calling he has given to us. Brethren, as we see these things, we can see again the see if I can, The vision, the mission, the guiding principles, these are three essential elements of the Church of God. And quoting from the chairman of the Council of Elders, Mr. Len Martin, as he writes in the letter here in this booklet that we use to decide how we're going to serve in the year to come, Mr. Martin said, let's keep our eye on the vision of who we are striving to become. And he quotes then the vision, a church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory. That's a great vision to have and to live by. With that vision in mind, always, let us be found so doing when Christ returns, helping in every way that we can to accomplish the mission that he has given to us. And in both the vision and the mission of the church, let us always be guided by his truth, the words of God, the teachings and example of Jesus Christ, and his instructions to show us not only what to do, but how to do it, the guiding principles that we learn from Scripture. In doing these things, brethren, as a collective body and as a local congregation and as individuals, God will bring us to glory. Christ will welcome us into his kingdom, and his church will be blessed forever and ever and ever.